Okay, and welcome back. I just stumbled over a little thing from Time magazine. There was an auction recently about John Kennedy's diary that he kept when he was taken to Europe. Well, I think one of the Dulles brothers took him, right in 1945, with weeks after the cessation of hostilities. He went to tour Germany. And he wrote in his diary, after seeing Germany, "You can easily understand how that within a few years, Hitler will emerge from the hatred that surrounds him now as being one of the most significant figures who ever lived." John Kennedy, 1945. He knew, like Patton, we fought the wrong enemy. He further said, he, Adolf Hitler, had boundless ambition for his country, which rendered him a menace to the peace of the world. But he had a mystery about him and the way he lived and in the manner of his death that will live and grow after him. He had in him the stuff of which legends are made. John Kennedy, 1945. Thought I'd put that out there. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. Hello, Mitch. You've heard that quote before, I'm sure.
Hello. Well, you know, actually, I was just thinking as you were saying that people nowadays are probably very unaware of this, but back when Kennedy was running for president, okay, and back in the 50s and stuff, people knew that he was a fan of Hitler. That was common knowledge.
Interesting. Interesting. That would have been 1958, 59, yeah.
Yeah, 58 and 59. People knew that. He was unapologetic about that. Mm-hmm. He also fought in World War II, but he was in the Pacific, okay?
Right.
So like my father was in the Pacific also, and people didn't, I think a lot of guys that were in the Pacific weren't that focused on what was going on in Germany and stuff. So he wouldn't have been out of place having those feelings if he was in the Navy and in the Pacific and stuff. They wouldn't.
Or he went to Germany and walked through the streets of rubble and could see in the people's eyes their mm-hmm. defiance, their broken hearts. They had a dream, and they almost achieved it. And I will say this, I've said it before. I agree with General George Patton. I agree with John Kennedy. We fought the wrong enemy. The enemy was communist Bolshevism, Zionism. That was the enemy.
And where did he get that from? People need to go back. His dad, Joseph Kennedy, he liked Hitler also. Were you aware of that?
Yes. Yes.
This was before Zionism had
its chokehold on the entire Western world and much of the planet. This was when people were still able to look at things objectively. Not anymore.
Well, it was also back in the days when you could have your own opinions about things. Okay. Political
freedom
correctness was not enforced.
He was.
Right.
Yes.
Freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what I want to talk about tonight is the World Economic War. This is a continuation of strategic intelligence.
Mitchell, before you start, is there anything you want to just toss out on the table about the failed assassination attempt on Trump? Now, a lot of people out there are buying into this. It was all a fake. He was never in danger. It was a complete fraud by Trump to gain sympathy and all. Just a load of crap. I'm sorry.
This
just
is one of the most effective FBI psychological operations program that I've seen. It's very super effective. Okay, it's just this simple. The Secret Service colluded with Thomas Crooks to kill Trump. That's just it. Okay, and it should be obvious to everybody. So in order to obscure what's clear and obvious and simple, they have thrown out every imaginable conspiracy theory that you can think of, that Trump was, that was a body double up there, that Trump staged this whole thing, that Iran did it, Israel did it, Ukraine did it. I mean, it goes on and on and on. They have flooded the airways. What this is they're using complexity to obscure the simplicity of what happened. Okay, right. Even the Secret Service director getting before Congress and right away saying, oh, I admit this is the greatest failure in Secret Service history. Well, yes, she would definitely want to say it's the greatest failure in Secret Service history rather than say, yeah, we attempted to kill Trump and it didn't work. Okay, that's the truth that she should have said. But she's throwing us all askew. She's saying, oh, yeah, this is a failure on our part, a major failure, the worst failure ever. Of course you would cop to that, because if you crashed into somebody intentionally and killed them, you would, of course, want to claim that it was an accident. Okay? Right? I mean,
yep.
It's common sense, really. I want to make another thing. I was reading, looking at your video on Kamala Harris up there, and there's something I think I need to clarify for people. Okay, so Kamala Harris cannot pick Gavin Newsom to be her vice president for running for the presidency.
Okay.
She cannot do that.
Good.
Because the president and the vice president cannot come from the same state in a general election. Okay.
Oh, now, really? Now is this in the Constitution? Yes. It must be.
Well, it's the 12th Amendment. Okay.
How interesting.
So if she's running for president in a general election, she cannot pick Gavin Newsom because they're both residents of the same state. However,
right.
If Joe Biden was tomorrow to resign or the Article 25 him and she becomes president, she can pick Gavin Newsom to be her vice president because it's not an election. That rule only applies for elections, and it has to do with the Electoral College. See, the state electors cannot cast two votes for a president and a vice president from the same state, okay?
Couple more things. One, she cannot pick up immediately, automatically, any of the campaign funds from the Biden reelection group. She doesn't have access to that. So those become basically off-limits, frozen. So that's out. I don't know. A lot of people seem to think that she is going to get the nomination. Hillary is now making noises, apparently, unless these are canards and a lot of fake news out there now, that she feels, it's my turn to beat Trump. My turn. It wouldn't be surprising to me that they owe her.
She's a very unlikable person. Yeah.
Well,
she has a sense of entitlement.
So is Joe Biden.
But a lot of people hate that about her. Yeah.
Right. Well, all I can say is this whole thing has been scripted out. It's all being rolled out, and it's going to remain utterly chaotic right through the first of the year. There's not going to be any relief here.
Consider this also is that the Democratic Party right now, If they can talk Joe Biden into resigning or the Article 25 him, then for 6 months at least, the first black female president, the first female president of the United States will be there. Just like in your Gerald Ford thing, how he's describing how a female could become president.
Uh-huh.
So they're capable of making her president, okay? But now, this proviso, too, okay, she could point Gavin Newsom, and I think Gavin Newsom is aware of this, but she also is within just a few months of running a reelection campaign, so at that point she would have to appoint some other person to be her vice president. It couldn't be Newsom if she intends to be reelected, okay? The other thing would be this, okay, and this is a thought that comes to mind, too. She picks Gavin Newsom to be her vice president, and then she gets assassinated before Election Day, making Gavin Newsom the president, then he runs for re-election.
I don't mean to be flippant or sound flippant. Don't count anything out. Nothing.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, they're capable of anything. You know, creating chaos is how they create control, right?
Yes. Absolutely. All right. Okay, my friend.
So,
let's head into business of the night.
Once again, this thing of strategic intelligence, this is so that you can look and see what's going on in the world and have an understanding. Okay, keep in mind that we're totally brainwashed over here. And so what I'm going to tell you is the way the rest of the world understands it, okay, so that you can have a perspective, because you're not going to hear the perspective that I give you. You're not going to hear it anywhere else, okay? So let me go, all right? So the United States, European Union, NATO, G7, or the unipolar American world order is a military, economic, financial empire that wants to control the economy of the world. If you control the world economy, you control the world. This is an economic and financial war underpinning all the conflicts in the world. It is a struggle for world control. Let me illustrate. I have said that the left in America will rebel, but the right will not. Why is this? It is because people on the right usually have traditional morals and values. They are hardworking and take care of their families. They work hard to pay for their mortgage and to make their car payments on time. There are people who have responsibilities that they take seriously and are responsible people in general. They will not rebel because they are responsible people and have responsibilities to other people. They usually put their families first. These people allow their government to teach the kids things they hate and detest. When they are threatened by the FBI for expressing their concerns with the school board, they will shut up because their first responsibility is to make money and pay their bills. They will not protest publicly because they saw that the protesters on January 6, 2021 were relentlessly hunted down by the FBI and imprisoned for merely being present in Washington, D.C. on that day. The January 6 narrative is by far one of the most successful psychological operations that the FBI has ever conducted. The protesters know that their banks gave the FBI their credit card information to see if they used their credit card in Washington, D.C. that day. They know that now, 3.5 years later, the FBI is still arresting and jailing people who were in Washington, D.C. on January 6. They have bills to pay, families to take care of. They simply cannot afford to protest. In other words, the FBI controls them financially. They must obey and not exercise the right to free speech, free assembly, or petitioning the government for the redress of grievances. The left, on the other hand, is the favored group and is unlikely to be arrested or prosecuted for doing actual harm, such as vandalism, arson, or battery on other people. If the left has impunity, then they feel free to riot and burn the city down. They will still be able to pay their bills, and there is no financial motive for them to obey. The 2020 Black Lives Matter Antifa riots in the United States were the most damaging riots in American history. Over $2 billion worth of damage was done. These riots were tolerated by law enforcement and the military. Law enforcement and the military totally stood down. Those entrusted with protecting your lives and property simply refused to do so. The left may freely exercise the right to free speech, assembly, and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. They are unlikely to face arrest, and if they are arrested, they are unlikely to be held in jail or prosecuted. It is the same way in the world. If you are the United States and Israel, you can do no wrong. If you are not, you can do nothing right. It is perfectly okay and even righteous for the United States to unilaterally attack Serbia in 1999 without permission from the United Nations Security Council, then occupy a province of Serbia without anybody's permission and break it away from the sovereign country that it belongs to and unilaterally declare it independent. We still have army troops in Kosovo in 2024. In 2003, the United States told lies to justify an invasion of the sovereign nation of Iraq, invaded Iraq, deposed its government, dismissed its army and police forces, militarily occupied the country and placed an American, Paul Bremer, to rule the nation. None of this with permission of the United Nations Security Council. America still has military troops stationed in Iraq in 2024, 7 years after ISIS was defeated in December 2017. In September 2014, the United States illegally invaded and occupied northeast Syria. They were not invited in by the Syrian government, and the United Nations Security Council did not authorize an invasion of Syria by the United States. The United States said that it was invading Syria to defeat ISIS. ISIS in Syria was defeated 5 years ago in March 2019. Why are American forces still there? The excuse is that there are 5,000 ISIS prisoners there in camps. The Americans are just going to stay forever, occupying a part of a sovereign nation without any legal basis whatsoever. On the other hand, Russia invades Ukraine without United Nations permission, and the whole world must go against it. What has Russia done in Ukraine that the United States did not do in Serbia, Iraq, and Syria? Serbia, Iraq, and Syria did not attack the United States. The United States did not like the way the Serbs were treating the Kosovo Albanians and Serbia. Well, Russia did not like the way that Ukraine was treating the ethnic Russians in Ukraine. Russia has the stronger case for intervention. In Iraq, the United States did not like the way Iraq treated the Kurds and the Shiites, accusing them of genocide and complained that they possessed weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to not be true. In Ukraine, the Ukrainians were shelling and killing Russian civilians inside Ukraine since 2014 and fired 2 million ethnic Russians from their government jobs to ethnically cleanse the Ukrainian government of ethnic Russian employees. That would be like the United States government firing all black employees. There is no moral integrity in the American foreign policy. Why is the response different for the United States than it is for Russia? Because the United States and its cronies control the world exchange currency and financial levers of commerce. We can seize Russian money and keep people from doing business with them through sanctions. The rest of the world cannot do that to the United States, so the United States has impunity for any crimes they commit. By extension, the United States gives Israel the same impunity. It is just that simple. There is now a financial and economic war going on to change that. The two issues that the rest of the world is tired of is the United States sanctioning their economy and freezing or seizing their money. The United States likes to budge in poor countries with sanctions when they do not obey our social and cultural mandates. Biden signed a foreign policy memorandum on February 4, 2021, stating that countries that restrict gay rights will be sanctioned. This, of course, hurts the poorest people on the face of the earth. The United States uses double standards. They sanction poor African nations
such as
Ghana, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, Malawi, Zimbabwe for not respecting gay rights. However, the United States does not sanction wealthy Muslim nations that execute gays like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, or Brunei. We use sanctions against nations that do not obey us, like Russia, Iran, North Korea, China, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. These nations argue that if the United States did not sanction other countries, the world economy would be great and everyone in the world would be living a better life. American sanctions disrupt the world economy and hurt all of humanity, including American citizens. Of course, these nations do not believe that they should have to obey the United States and accept their cultural Marxism. The United States has seized the money of Afghanistan, Venezuela, and Iran. The rest of the world wonders why the richest nation on earth can just seize the money of some of the poorest nations on earth. They regard this as the outright theft that it is. Speaking at the International Legal Forum in St. Petersburg on June 27, 2024, Dmitry Medvedev of Russia said that the sanctions and targeting of property practiced by the United States and its allies could be considered acts of aggression and grounds for declaring war. Medvedev stated, "No country is safe from confiscation of its assets under the rules-based international order that is based on U.S. domination." rules-based international order, he is talking about the unipolar world order where America dictates rules to others that it does not follow itself. He is talking about the unipolar American world order, which is a military, political, economic cartel, and its globalist agenda as philosophically underpinned by the World Economic Forum. He also pointed out that the sanctions and economic embargoes practiced by the United States and its allies are a form of warfare. He stated that unilateral sanctions must end. They are an instrument of political coercion against those opposed to the rules-based world order, contrary to both the spirit and the letter of the UN Charter. Medvedev suggested that the rest of the world join together in a collective defense against U.S. economic bullying. So BRICS is trying to create a world economy that is not controlled by Washington, D.C., where nations can trade with each other and everybody gets to attain a better standard of living and all humanity can have their best lives, where no nation bosses the other nations around or interferes in their internal affairs, where every nation respects the sovereignty of all the other nations, where nations do not gather in military alliances and impose their political will on the rest of the world. This means that the United States is also left alone and can be engaged in free and fair trade with the other nations of the world. It would raise the standards of living and quality of life in America also. The current system accumulates power to the rich but impoverishes the common man in the process. BRICS is trying to conduct trade in their own currencies instead of using the U.S. dollar. They want to drop the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency and the trade standard because it allows the United States to financially blackmail the rest of the world into compliance by sanctioning them or seizing their assets. BRICS is trying to end the petrodollar. They want oil sold without the dollar as the standard of exchange. They will succeed with this because, as of January 2024, Iran and the United Arab Emirates joined BRICS. They created the New Development Bank to replace the World Bank. The New Development Bank does not insist that you promote gay or feminist rights to get loans. They created the BRICS Contingent Reserve Arrangement to replace the International Monetary Fund to deal with liquidity problems of their members' currencies, once again, without having to accept the dictates of the human rights campaign, which pushes Marxist gay rights and feminism. To replace the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency and trade currency, BRICS is developing BRICSPay that will replace SWIFT in making trade settlements. They're developing an international trade currency that will use blockchain technology to form a common digital currency. Once they break the world's enslavement to the U.S. dollar, the world can begin to be free from American coercion. Where nations do not tell other nations what to do, leave their neighbors alone in peace, refrain from sanctioning them and embargoing them or stealing their funds. In other words, to have a world where each nation is free and does business in peace with all other nations. BRICS is for peace and freedom. Mm-hmm. Unipolar American world order is for domination, dictatorship, and war without end. Their project is not intended to destroy the United States, EU, NATO, or the G7, but to improve the lives of their citizens also. Imagine Americans and Europeans not having to die in wars for feminism and gay rights. BRICS is not opposed to women and gays' rights. South Africa has the same rights in this respect as Americans and Europeans have. They are just opposed to forcing these rights down other people's throats. If you want to be a gay nation, that is your business. If you don't, that is also your business. In Brazil and South Africa, BRICS nations, LGBT people have the same rights as they do in the United States. In Russia, India, and China, the other five big BRICS nations, having gay sex is illegal. No one goes to jail for what they do in the bedroom. They just don't have all the special rights and protections that they do in the United States. Iran has the death penalty for gay sex. The other BRICS nations do not hold that against them and respect their cultural sovereignty. They want to do business with them, not dictate the sexual mores of their people. In the unipolar American world order system, it is the United States that rules. They set the goals and policies for the broader group of the G7, which sets the economic agenda for the European Union. The United States also sets the agenda for NATO. The unipolar American world order wants to rule the world. BRICS wants each nation to rule itself and have each nation respect the culture and sovereignty of all other nations. Right. The true underpinning of peace and understanding is respect. No friendship or marriage works without mutual respect, just being realistic here. So this is a comparison between BRICS and the G7 right now. So the world land area, BRICS makes up 34% of it. The G7 only makes 16%. World population, BRICS has 45.2%, and the G7 only 9.7%. The GDP by purchasing power parity, BRICS has 36.7%, and the G7 has 29.6%.
And oil these are reserves, very interesting figures, Mitch. These are surprising.
Yeah. This is showing a small group of people, the G7, this exclusive elite club, they represent very little of the world, but they rule the whole thing. In oil reserves, the BRICS have 45.8% of oil reserves, and the G7 only has 3.7%. In the current struggle between Russia and NATO, the important battle is between BRICS and NATO because, in the long run, Russia can never be at peace until the economic and financial stranglehold of the United States is broken. The dollar as a world reserve and petrodollar currency must be broken to break the impunity of U.S. and Israeli actions. Until the United States and Israel follow the same rules as every other nation, and until the United States and Israel respect the political independence, sovereignty, cultures, and social mores of other nations, there simply will be no world peace and no true prosperity.
No, let me add this.
Yes.
Netanyahu is either in Washington now or about to land. He's going to address the Congress. The last time he was here, Congress gave him 29 standing ovations. Now, as all of you know, beyond viscerally, it makes you sick. Beyond that, how many people has he presided over the liquidation of, the massacre of, the suffering, the pain, the slaughtering of? American dollars are paying. We gave them their jets. We give them their bombs, their armaments. We give them all the tech that they could ever want, whatever cash they need. Let's see how many standing ovations this rotten, vile Congress gives Netanyahu. That'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well,
that'll show you how controlled the Congress is. Don't forget what Thomas Massie said.
Yeah.
Every single member of Congress has an AIPAC agent, a guardian, overlooking that individual member of Congress, everyone except Massie, and forcing them to vote in an Israeli-backing, supporting fashion.
Right.
Who owns this country? Who runs it? The American people? You folks? Guess again.
Well, you know, Congress is just 535 lobbyists for other people. They don't represent Americans.
No.
So remember, the BRICS system is not intended to harm or destroy the American nation and people, but intend to help it. BRICS stands for a world where nations respect each other and do business with each other for the well-being of everyone. The unipolar American world order respects no one else but demands respect from all others. The unipolar American system is about using business, finance, and economics as a weapon to coerce obedience from all other nations. Even some NATO allies are wanting to switch to BRICS. Turkey knows that it will never be admitted into the European Union. It grates them that the most corrupt and unfree nation in Europe, Ukraine, is invited to join, but not them. Turkey's economy suffers. Turkey wants to join BRICS and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to fix that. But Putin told them that a NATO nation cannot join because NATO does not adhere to the values of the Shanghai Cooperation Council because it is aligned with the problem nations. Turkey is seriously considering withdrawing from NATO. This would mean NATO would lose their second largest military after the United States. This is bad for NATO because all of the other NATO nations have token and hollowed out militaries. None is capable of even defending their own land by itself, and in the aggregate, they cannot mount a realistic defense of Europe. Saudi Arabia also wants to join BRICS. Saudi Arabia has started selling oil in currencies other than the dollar. The petrodollar is not a formal treaty, and there is nothing stopping Saudi Arabia from selling in other currencies. If Saudi Arabia formally joins BRICS, the petrodollar could die, as BRICS is all about not using the dollar. If you add to that all the other major oil producers in BRICS, like Russia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates, you begin to see that BRICS has control over a major portion of the world's oil production and reserves. Moreover, other major oil-producing nations want to join BRICS, including Azerbaijan, Algeria, Kuwait, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, South Sudan, and Venezuela. The currency goal of BRICS is to break U.S. interference and bullying in the world by reducing the world's usage and reliance of the dollar for settling trade. Right now, that is $6.6 trillion per day. It is not easy, but it is possible. Fiat money, which the dollar is only worth what people agree that it is worth.
It's a psychology issue, all of it.
If BRICS succeeded in weaning the world off the dollar, it would cripple the U.S. economy, which has been built on unsustainable spending. We can only print and spend money like we do because we are exporting that inflation overseas as world reserve currency and trade settlement dollars. This would severely reduce the United States' ability to interject in foreign policy with embargoes or sanctions. There are about $2 trillion in circulation overseas and $2 trillion within the United States. If we do not have that money exported and it all comes home, your dollar will be worth 50 cents. The American economy has been a house of cards since the 1990s. We are accelerating ourselves into a deep debt that is not sustainable. The total amount of money that our government collects in taxes of all kinds is about $5 trillion per year. Our debt is $35 trillion as of now. Interest on that debt is $1 trillion per year. The gross national product, or our national income, is only $28 trillion a year. An economic crash is inevitable on its own without being pushed by BRICS. The Ukrainian war accelerates this. This is why Putin has not ended the Ukrainian war. He is winning the financial war. But it takes time. At any rate, hard economic times are in our future. Let me make this simple. When the economy crashes, the things to hold are real estate, food, water, and other supplies, and gold and silver. To really get a solid grasp of the importance of the strategic the struggle between BRICS and the unipolar American world, we need to step back and look at the big picture. It helps to explain much. Creating a DEI world order is the goal of both BRICS and the unipolar American world order. Okay, let me re-say that. DEI is the central reason of both of these systems, okay? The struggle is in the creation of a world government that embraces diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is how all nations can live in peace and how every nation can prosper through the free and fair trade. I'm talking the philosophy here, okay? The dispute is about how that would be organized. The BRICS model has nation states as the fundamental unit. Each nation state has its own people, own culture, own social mores, own rules that are appropriate for their people and national integrity. Each nation respects each other nation and respects their integrity and sovereignty. No nation uses political, economic, financial, or military pressure to involve themselves in the internal affairs of the other nations. There is diversity in the BRICS because Brazil is Latino and Roman Catholic. Russia is white and Eastern Orthodox. India is South Asian and Hindu. China is East Asian and atheist. South Africa is African and Christian. Iran is Persian and Shia Muslim. Egypt is Arab and Sunni Muslim. Ethiopia is African and Ethiopian Orthodox. United Arab Emirates is Arab and Sunni Muslim. As you can see, BRICS has genuine diversity. BRICS also has true equity in that dirt poor Ethiopia is treated as an equal with super rich China and super developed Russia. BRICS has true inclusion because Ethiopia has the same voice as China and Russia. They do not have weighted power based on wealth, development, or military strength. No BRICS nation is a leader. They are all co-equals in all aspects of the relationship. No BRICS nation is the boss. Each nation is their own sovereign boss. Everything is done for mutual benefit. For example, African nations like doing business with Russia because they are not exploitative. There are no neocolonial relationships between the BRICS countries. Okay, so let's go to the U.S., European Union, NATO, G7, or the unipolar American world order. And what they are is just the old white colonial powers that have ruled the world since the 15th century.
Same
relationship between them and the rest of the world is terribly exploitative, and they actively interfere with the culture, society, and political affairs of all nations that they do business with and demand that they obey the unipolar vision of American culture. If they don't obey, they are sanctioned and embargoed. They do not want them to do business with anyone else in the world. In other words, it is the same old Western imperialism with a new name. There's not much diversity of member nations. It includes the traditional white Christian nations of the United States, Canada, Europe, with the only other outlier being Japan that is in the G7. The G7 nations are the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan. They're mostly white countries, okay? The way that we pretend to be diverse is by importing people from all over the world to live in our lands. This is not true diversity because these people become Americans. They are expected to melt their culture into ours and to make a new hybrid culture that is characterized in the end by sameness. Everyone may be racially and ethnically diverse, but culturally they become the same people. As a matter of fact, they don't just want cultural assimilation. They push racial and ethnic assimilation for the browning of America. This is not diversity. I know second and third generation Japanese, Chinese, and South Asians that are as culturally American as I am. That is not diversity. During the Vietnam War, I served in Asia with Asian American soldiers who were just as out of place as I was. This is not diversity, and the people in foreign lands do not see it as diversity. No matter how many different races, ethnicities, and cultures the United States and Europeans import, the result is ultimately uniformity. Western diversity is cultural genocide. It is the extinction of other people's cultures in the name of uniformity, which we call diversity.
Yep.
Okay, this is what the West does when it imposes feminism and gay rights on traditional African or Asian cultures. An example of this American cultural uniformity is that when I lived in Costa Rica, they called all Americans gringos. This is not pejorative. It is convenient. In other words, the other words for Americans are Norte Americano or Estadounidense. Gringo is easier to say. Their formal nationality is called Costarricense, but they call themselves Ticos. Fair enough. However, Americans who came to visit who were Hispanic could not accept being called gringo. Too bad. They are still called gringos in Costa Rica. The Costa Ricans are not going to change their language to accommodate American citizens of Hispanic descent that don't like it. This is exactly how imperious assimilated Latino Americans can be. They are so gringo, and they don't know it. American diversity is not really diversity at all. It is, in fact, uniformity, and the rest of the world can tell. The message that the United States is trying to send the world with open borders is that America is the world. The problem is the world is not buying it and does not want to be America. We will use all of our power to force them to, though. The two methods of Western self-deception on diversity are open borders and DEI. When they come, we will put them into the best jobs, hire them first, and we'll try and make them the face of America. The rest of the world will not buy it. Having Rishi Sunak as Prime Minister of Britain and Sadiq Khan as Mayor of London will not make Pakistan want closer relations with Britain, their old colonial oppressors. Having a black Lloyd Austin as Secretary of Defense, a black General Charles Q. Brown as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or a black Charles Langley as Commander of AFRICOM did not make Niger or Chad allow American state troops to stay in their country. They are not fooled. These men are culturally American. They are not African at all. These men may think they are African, but Africans do not think they are Africans. They think they are American neo-colonialists. It is under our black commanders that African nations have ejected U.S. troops. It has not caused us to have tighter relations with them. It comes off as fake and ungenuine to them. They prefer to deal with lily white Russians who treat them with respect instead of condescension. Open borders and promotion based on race, gender, and sexual orientation instead of merit is impoverishing the West and bringing down our quality of life as a ploy so that global elites can rule the world. The world is not fooled. There is no true equity within the NATO alliance. The United States leads and the rest of the NATO nations are merely our client and puppet states. Except for Turkey, none of these nations have militaries that can defend themselves. They are dependent on the United States for the defense, so they must go along with us. Within the European Union, some nations are more important than others. France, Italy, and Germany are the economic powers, so they get their way. They bully Slovakia and Hungary because they don't want to waste money on the war in Ukraine. This is the opposite of equity. The West is not inclusive because the United States sets the economic and political agenda for the G7. Then the G7 nations agree on the economic and financial goals for the West and for the world without any input from the little nations. The West is riddled with exclusivity. The United States exclusively decides the world economic, political, and cultural agenda. The G7 needs to rubber stamp it, and the EU gets into lockstep with it, and then it is imposed on the rest of the world. Then the United States calls itself the leader of the, quote, free world, while those who do not want to follow our lead are called dictatorships. The unipolar American world order is a non-diverse, unequal, and as exclusive as you can get. The United States is in turn run by the exclusive and undemocratic global elites who are mostly rich white people. They are not fooled. They are not fooling the rest of the world. The war between the unipolar American world order and the BRICS is the final war of mankind. Because of nuclear weapons, it will be a total war of total annihilation. The nuclear war can break out over Ukraine, yeah, or over Iran. The BRICS will not give up their freedom, and the unipolar American world order will not give up its goal of world domination. Okay? So, that's a different way of working at the world. But if you want to figure out why we're going to, why and when we're going to go into World War III, you better wake up and realize that. This is the way the world looks at it. It's not the way that the news, the CNN and MSNBC expresses it.
It's not
the
news,
way the government officials expresses it. Yes, it's propaganda. But if you just follow American news, you will sleepwalk into thermonuclear extinction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This whole Trump thing, there are people now who are buying into the argument that it was a complete setup and a fraud, every bit of it. Now, that's just a terrible break with reality. It was not a fraud. Ask Mr. Comperatore's family if it was a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
No, but they do kill people. We understand that. No, this was an effort to get rid of Donald Trump. There was an effort to get rid of Vladimir Putin on the same day, in case some of you didn't know that. There was an assassination attempt that was shut down. So, there you go. Not good.
Yeah, the rid of the CIA is global. They don't just do things locally, okay?
No.
They'll go anywhere in the world
This is not over yet. By any means, you can't relax and kick back. Be ready. They've got nothing but chaos and hell in their agenda and their timeline, and they're going to spew it. It's coming. Be ready.
Well, you know, I should make people say, keep this in mind too, that it doesn't matter who wins. If Trump wins, they win. If Harris wins, they win. They win either way, okay? Trump is the Antichrist and Harris is the Antichrist. And Netanyahu is the Antichrist. And Macron and Trudeau and Newsom. These are all Antichrists. And no matter who you put in there, they will be in control. And they will bring us to the same conclusion.
I don't know what they've planned in terms of the timeline. I don't know how much longer this utter provocation of Russia can continue without finally some kind of a meaningful response. I mean, I like this turn the other cheek thing. That's all very nice. But my God, Putin has sacrifice the lives of between 50 and 60,000 young Russian boys and men, dead. And I don't know how many wounded, hundreds of thousands. The Ukrainians, of course, have been wiped out, annihilated. Over a million Ukrainian white Christian men and lots of women have been annihilated by Zelensky and the Zionists that run that country. How much longer can this go on, Mitch? Russia cannot continue to watch hundreds of people being destroyed on Russian soil by American weapons and American backing of using those weapons in a long-range system to kill Russians.
Keep this in mind. While this war has been going on, Russia has become the fifth largest economy in the world, behind Japan.
Correct.
This is the most sanctioned nation on Earth, and they have managed to become the fifth largest economy on Earth. The BRICS is growing apace. Okay. In other words, like I said before, Russia will never have peace until the American financial power is broke, because they cannot allow the United States and Israel to keep the impunity that they have now. The United States has got to fall in line and obey laws just like the rest of the world does. Okay? America really does not want to do that. Okay? They want power. They want power on our backs. Okay, we're paying them to try to get this world power. The difference between the two systems, the BRICS system and the American unipolar system, is that in the BRICS system, there is no central leader. Everybody's an equal. In the system of the United States, the United States is the dictator of the world. Okay? So, you know, keep your perspective on this. You know, sometimes I do address things from the religious point of view and stuff like that. But from the religious point of view, it can go either way. It can go either way. Okay, we can have this Antichrist world dictatorship one way or the other. Okay, then I think it'll be based on American power. Okay.
I think the world is going to be split up into three major spheres of influence: China, Russia, and the formerly United States. That will remain an economic power, as will the other two. It's going to be a multi-polarity world, and those are the three centers of power, I'm told. China, Russia, and the U.S. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, thank you, Mitch. Excellent thinking, as always. Good analysis. Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, talk soon.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, Mitch. Okay, gang, we'll be right back in 21 hours. It will go fast. Talk to you soon.